Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio program. Today I have as my guest a dear friend, a mentor, a lion among Christian leaders, Bob Andringa. He has served working with corporate nonprofit boards. He is one of the founding members of the Engstrom Institute, which brings together best practices from all around the world in leadership. He's the former president of Christian Colleges of America, and he is now serving as chairing a network of 14 caring organizations in Phoenix, Arizona. And he has stated, his life purpose is to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and others as myself. His passion is unity in the body of Christ. His mission is to serve nonprofit CEOs and their boards by helping them pursue excellence together while transforming lives in God-honoring activities. His plan is to allow the Lord to work his will in how the above plays out, and his motto is, in terms of God-honoring service, peak at the age of 80. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Laurie Beth. It's a joy to be with you and to experience this blog radio with you.
Well, it's we were sharing on the pre-show just how it works and what a great outreach it is. And one of the things I love the most about it is it gives me a chance to reconnect with dear friends and leaders in the industry and in the communities of the world and give them a voice for what they're doing and impart wisdom to our leaders who listen. So as I was sharing, we've got, I guess, maybe 14,000 opt-in listeners now. And we had someone tell us that they heard us in Argentina, and we have a woman who downloads us and while she's running, and she's in South Africa, and so it's one of those things of broadcasting. You never know where the seed blows.
Well, with all of your fire, and I think that's, as I recall, what you are mostly about. Right. Your personality and voice are so much better than an email.
Well, Bob, thank you, and tell us about. I'm really intrigued with how you began working in Anthem in the community. And I remember not too long ago when we saw each other at the Christian Leadership Alliance, you shared the heartbreaking story of a young, I guess, single mom that was being foreclosed on in your community and how that kind of sprung you into action. As, as people may know, Phoenix, Arizona has been the epicenter, one of three epicenters of the real estate tsunami meltdown, and people all over the city and community have just really had lifetime savings wiped away, homes foreclosed upon through no fault of their own. So can you tell us how you got into that and where that compassion has taken you?
Gee, it goes way back to the little town that I was raised in Michigan, Laurie Beth, and I saw a lot of values of growing up in a community where people got to know one another and cared for one another. Since I left that small town and went to Michigan State University and then on to live in Washington, D.C. and in the Twin Cities and in Denver, we usually lived in a development, a suburb, but there was no sense of community like I remembered growing up. So we deliberately, when I refired in 5 years ago, retirement isn't in my vocabulary, I guess, and I don't find it in the Bible, so I tend not to use it. But we chose a community of about 30,000 people north of Phoenix, and we have a board that of the community, and we have schools and churches and performing arts center and a library, and it's a true small town, larger than I grew up in, 30,000 people. But it grew so fast, and people extended themselves beginning in 2000 to buy one of these homes in this fantastic place with all these amenities. And then the recession hit, people lost their jobs, and yes, I bought a house in 2005. I've lost 45% of the value. But many people who lost 45% of the value now owe significantly more on their mortgage than their house is worth. So then comes unemployment on top of that, and then the recession, which people's retirement savings were reduced, and all of that has created illnesses, divorces, bankruptcies, people who are just at the end of the rope. So we decided to find some volunteers who would like to offer to help clean houses, clean yards, transport people to the hospital, provide food, pay utility bills, et cetera. And we're now 2 years old, and we're helping now maybe 10 families this week in one way or another.
Wow.
And it's a simple way of learning that it takes a village, and a simple way of learning that when we see neighbors really hurting in multiple ways, we tend on our own to withdraw. We just don't know what to do by ourselves. But when we get, in our case, 50 volunteers, all with different gifts and interests, then when a need is known, we make it known to all the volunteers. We've gotten nice media coverage. We have a painter who's offering to paint the exterior once a quarter. We did an article in a local magazine that generated a plumber who says, hey, I want to help anyone. We've had two women with abscessed teeth, so we have two dentists who donated taking care of them. We have doctors. We have lots of businesses also saying, okay, we can be part of this solution. But the bottom line, frankly, while we're helping people, and that's real, is to take a new community, now 10 years old, and to help create a culture of caring where businesses, churches, the school, Lions Club, Rotary Club, all of us say, if people are hurting, we're there. We can bring hope as well as help. And it's really been a very, very fulfilling and joy-producing experience for me and for Sue, my wife, and for many others.
So in a village of 30,000 people, which is a significant village, how has it spread through Anthem proper?
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing or sensing there?
Mm-hmm. We have an Anthem website, and Quest donated a helpline for us. So we have thousands of business cards all over Anthem. It says, do you know someone in need of help? You call this phone number. The phone number explains these 14 caring organizations and tells you how to go online and download the directory. So there's a 4.5-page directory now. So if you need food, here's where you go. You need utilities. You need men with pickup trucks to move you, whatever. Then you contact the organizations. And that's helping. Certainly the little newspaper, media, magazine coverage helps. And then we're putting it in church bulletins in the community. That helps. Word of mouth is huge. The school counselors will often call us and say, here's a child who's whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mother has cancer, dad left. Child's not doing well. We know the family needs help. Can you contact them?
Wow. How do you, and this is just a personal question, how do you keep your boundaries, Bob, you know, when the needs are so great? How do you personally keep from being overwhelmed?
Mm-hmm. It's hard, and I'm learning to appreciate counselors and how they can have an hour counseling session and move on to someone else, and then go home and have their own life. I think we start out by saying we can't do everything. We won't overpromise. We'll only do what our volunteers are willing and able to do. So, one, we don't try to set expectations so high. We don't try to say we can solve all your problems, but we can do something. The second thing we do is if people are willing, we say, who are family or friends that you know and trust, because you don't really know us yet? Can we form a little team around you with a captain, not you because you're hurting, but can we find someone that will meet with you once a week, hopefully, and just say, what are the needs this week? And then a team is more likely to come up with, yes, we can do that. So we're trying to build little teams around the families that have multiple needs.
This is so amazing. As I shared with you in our pre-show, we're getting ready to launch a book called Path for Families. And one of the co-authors, Shane Stanford, has developed an assessment for families in acute crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And this concept of the captain and the team, I think, could be something that we would apply for the larger family, because, you know, we had quite the discussion about what constitutes a family.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus' definition of a family. And the nuclear mom, dad, two perfect children and two cars and a white picket fence, you know, that's largely a myth anymore.
Oh, yes. The ones we're helping, you wouldn't believe. The blended families, the alienation. Kids don't talk to the parents anymore. It's really quite extraordinary, surprising to me, but not really, I guess, in the culture we're in.
Right.
And yes, and it's just like my golf game. Once you hit something in the desert, you have a bad shot, then another bad shot, and another bad shot. Well, it just seems like people who lose a job then also have serious illness, and they have
mm-hmm.
problems with their teenagers, and they get down in such a hole, they get depressed, and they have no hope. So that's the thing I struggle with most. How do you get someone who used to be positive, productive, focused, enjoying life, and they know that's who they were, and now they have nothing, no energy, no ideas, no vision, no hope.
Wow.
And so that's where we found you can't just pay a utility bill. You have to be there, and you have to get others to circle around them and mm-hmm. to stay with them. Sometimes we've one family, I think we're now at about 18 months, multiple needs. But the other thing we find is people who give find the joy, so they want to give more. The other thing is those who receive, they're so anxious to give back. So, you know, I was with a woman the other day, lost her mom, lost her nephew, has no family, no income, but she was an accountant, and she can do books, and she knows computers. So I'll plug her in with someone who needs that volunteer help, because the volunteer help is going to give her some hope that people appreciate what she can offer, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, Lori Beth, the main problem we have is
what
people
is
in need letting be known their need.
Hmm.
Last week I met with a couple. He's 68, unemployed. She's 47, depressed. Three kids, no income except his Social Security, own a house, behind in payments. They were active in a local church, but she said, we haven't been for months. It's too embarrassing, their situation. So I will talk to their pastor today or tomorrow. This couple has allowed me to do that, so that pastoral counseling and other help can come their way. But people are embarrassed.
Well,
they live in a nice-looking house. They just don't want to be known.
Yeah, we've got 5 seconds left. People who want information, go to andringagroup.com, andringagroup.com. Bob, we need more conversations. We need more people like you. Thank you so much for being on the show, and I will be getting back to you about the Path for Families That Extended. We need a chapter just on what you're doing in the book. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurie Beth. What a joy
blessings.
To be with you today.
Oh,
blessings
as
to you.
Always. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye for now.